The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus said, "Whoever welcomes you welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes a prophet in the name of a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And whoever welcomes a righteous person in the name of a righteous person will receive the reward of the righteous. And whoever gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones in the name of a disciple, truly I tell you, none of these will lose their reward." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. I suppose I'll just start with the obvious. I could preach on the gospel today, or even Romans. As a matter of fact, we didn't have to read that passage from Genesis. We could have read from Jeremiah this morning. Granted, Jeremiah was prophesying about famine and pestilence, but that seems so much better than this profoundly difficult, even horrifying story of God commanding a father to kill his son. But it doesn't seem right to hear this story of Abraham and Isaac and just leave it hanging there. Or worse yet, pretend we didn't hear it, pretend there wasn't something important in the story for us. I find that when the scriptures are difficult, they are asking me to wrestle with them. It's a way to be in relationship with God. And there are things we need to know from this story of God and Abraham and Isaac. And if we turn away, we will miss them. I remember hearing this passage read one Sunday morning long before I was a priest. The lay reader was a man, a father who had a beloved little son. And as he began to read, his voice softened, became halting sometimes. Tears rolled down his cheeks as this beautiful, faithful young father read of a God who would ask a father to kill his beloved son. Reverend Jan spoke last week of the difficulty in hearing Jesus say he had come to turn daughters against mothers and sons against fathers. What kind of God would say that? But today it only seems worse. How can we help but ask the question, what kind of God would ask a father to sacrifice his son? So, let's ask that question. Let's open our minds and our hearts and see what this story has for us. One of the many things that fascinates me about this passage is the utter lack of emotion expressed in the midst of one of the most emotional scenarios imaginable. No matter how many times I read it, I get very little of Abraham or Isaac's feelings about what is being asked of them. We just get the facts. God instructs Abraham to offer his son in sacrifice. Abraham gets up early the next morning to make preparations and then go to the appointed place. They arrive at the appointed place, and Abraham instructs the slaves to stay put while he and the boy worship. Abraham builds the altar, he binds Isaac, he raises the knife to kill Isaac, he's instructed not to kill Isaac, he doesn't kill Isaac, he sees a ram, he kills the ram, and makes the ram the sacrifice. That's one way to read it. As horrifying as it is, that might actually be the easiest way to read it. Reading it that way reading just the facts, the story is cold and stark and emotionless. Reading it that way allows us to remain distant and keeps the tears from rolling down our cheeks. But if we're willing to look a little more closely, we see glimpses of courage and concern and tenderness, of real humanity and love. And it is very, very important to recognize those things. Of course, recognizing those things makes the story more real, more human, and harder to take in. When we catch those glimpses of humanity, we can no longer pretend that Abraham is God's robot, utterly unaffected by what is being asked of him. Just last week, Sarah demanded that Abraham send his other son away, and now Isaac, the precious and beloved son, who was the miracle from God, the one who by rights never even should have been born, Isaac, the promise through whom Israel would go on forever, he is about to be taken away too? All this makes it harder, not easier, to understand how Abraham could have contemplated sacrificing this particular life, the life that was his future and God's future too. And what is even more difficult than that is to imagine that God, our God, the God whose name is love, would have asked him to do it. God tested Abraham. I do not like these words. I can do something reasonable and theologically sound and even work the faithfulness and loving heart of a generous God into all the rest of the story. But those words, God tested Abraham, those words absolutely confound me. They seem to portray a God who is cruel, a God who would torture his admittedly human but very faithful servant, Abraham. We don't even need to be parents to imagine how torturous that would have been. I know better than to be entrapped in the dualism that says there's a harsh, judging God in the Old Testament and a loving, compassionate God in the New Testament. God is God. And still, this whole thing seems too hard to take in. Why would God put Abraham to the test? This test? What does this say about God's character? What kind of God would make such a demand? And if God asked this of Abraham, what might God ask of me, of you, of us? We remember that context matters. This is a story of God's chosen people who had been tested by flood and famine, a people who had from time to time forsaken God and who sometimes felt that God had forsaken them. Even in the midst of God's promise to God's people, their lives have been fraught with profound trials and tribulations. For the Israelites, there had been many, many tests of their faith and of God's faithfulness. So think about the lives this story was made up of, and the lives this story was spoken into, and know that they are not our lives today. This is a story of people living in a world where human sacrifice was a regular, expected part of life. It doesn't take the sting out of it, but it does help us to see what God is doing. Seen in this context, we might hear God saying, "This is the end of it. There will be no more human sacrifice." I imagine that is a very important aspect of all of this. God knew what he was asking. As it turned out, God was the one to sacrifice his son, his only son, the son whom he loved. Abraham knew about sacrifice. He'd done a lot of sacrificing in order to be faithful to God. He gave up his home, the life he had known, and everything precious to him because God told him to get up and go to a new place. And when he was given Isaac, he was willing to give him up too. Abraham knew that in Isaac, God had already made life out of barrenness. In Isaac, God had made life out of death. Isaac's life was a miracle from God, given by God as pure gift. Isaac belonged to God, and Abraham knew that. So when God tested Abraham by asking him to sacrifice Isaac, not only did God see the depth of Abraham's faithfulness, Abraham saw the depth of God's faithfulness too. While all that's true, I can't imagine any interpretation of this story that will ever wrap it up, clean it up, or make it somehow perfectly agreeable to us. This is a most mysterious story. It brings up questions that can't be precisely or easily answered. I think that's because it's a story about trust and faith and the mystery that is God. That's the rub, isn't it? When we can't explain something of God, we really only have a couple of choices. We can trust God or discount God. God tested Abraham. Perhaps Abraham tested God too, this God who had promised a land and a covenant, an identity and a future. "Look toward heaven," God had said to him. "Look toward heaven and count the stars if you are able to count them. So shall your descendants be." Would the God who had demanded so much from Abraham, the God he had served so faithfully, not perfectly, but faithfully, would this God who had given Isaac as the promise of the future of all of Israel, would he then take it all away? Maybe Abraham needed to know. Maybe Abraham needed to test God. God tested Abraham. Those words are profound indicators of the seriousness, the gravity, the essential trusting nature of a life of faith. Whether or not the notion that God tests is our own experience, it was the experience of God's people, Israel. They were mightily tested over and over again. For them, everything, test or otherwise, was of God. For Abraham and his people to say God tested was to say that God was still engaged with them, that their faithful response mattered deeply to God, that their trust was of paramount importance to their future, because remaining faithful meant remaining in relationship with their God who would always provide for them. Israel would have been lost without God's provision, whether it was the parting of the Red Sea, manna from heaven, or water from a stone. My experience is not of a God who tests us, and yet I have felt sorely tested in my life. There have been times when I felt so frightened, broken, and bereft that I couldn't imagine any possibility of finding my way through. Most of us who have walked around on the planet for any significant period of time have felt sorely tested. But my experience is not that God is the tester. My experience is of a God who comes alongside us in everything we encounter and every single time we feel put to the test. It's what happened with Abraham too. We just need not to be too quick to layer our own interpretations on the life of a faithful man who lived in a way we will never understand, in a culture we will never really understand, in a time that was thousands of years ago. Abraham did what God commanded, and God did what God promised. And having tested each other's faithfulness over and over again, they deepened their relationship. This faithfulness was not blind obedience. It was the conscious and active decision to trust God, even in the face of not understanding. We've done this too, deciding to trust God when we don't understand what is happening in our partnerships, when we aren't sure about the ways we're parenting our children, when we're betrayed by someone we love, when racism continues to run rampant, when a pandemic unnecessarily gets worse and people die who didn't need to. This is a story about consciously and actively deciding to trust God, even in the face of not understanding. There are always tests, and God is always faithful. This is a story about what happens when we offer all that is dear to us, all that is painful to us, all that has hurt us, everything we don't understand, when we offer all that we are and all that we have back to the God who has given us everything, God gives again, and abundantly far more than we could ever ask or imagine. Amen.